When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shop all things Cherry Johnson at TheRealCherry.com.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to Cherry's World. I am Cherry Johnson, and that is Mr. Courtney Blackman. Today, we've got the host of American Ninja Warrior in the house. If you guys don't know, that is like the hardest obstacle course in the world. But I also got some tea to spill with y'all. Mr. Akbar, Bajamia Miller is in the house. And we got a little backstory. So we're going to let you know about it because I've been knowing that man for a long time, ladies. Stay tuned and find out how.
This is Cherry's World.
There is an internet radio station that's generating a lot of buzz. The website is RaiseJukebox.com. What's different is it features a mix of new and throwback jams across many genres. The first Sunday each month, there are live shows with celebrity and artist interviews. Log in to RaiseJukebox.com, press play, and turn the volume up. That's right, RaiseJukebox.com. If you're listening to Cherry's World Podcast on Apple Podcasts and iTunes, please give us a 5-star. Let us know what you think. Leave us a review. I want to hear from you. Thank you.
Would you like to advertise on Cherry's World and have your product placed on Cherry's social media for the world to see? Email us now at cherriesworldpodcast@gmail.com for low introductory rates. Cherry's World Podcast. Get heard.
Welcome to Cherry's World.
Shop all things Cherry Johnson at TheRealCherry.com.
But how you are? Look, I already did your intro.
Oh, you did? Because you wanted to make sure that I didn't hear you saying my name, huh?
What are you talking about?
You messed it up, didn't you? Be honest.
No.
I didn't even make an attempt.
So look, I already did your thing, but I have to clown you though real quick. And I clowned you when I did my intros. I sent an extra intro to Courtney because you was talking about me not being able to say your last name, right?
Yeah.
Bajamia Miller.
Okay, so you practice. Don't act like you just already knew it. You practice.
Okay, so anyway, I practiced, but you called me Sherry.
I said Sherry, didn't I?
You said Sherry, and it was so cute because in the intro, you're like, yeah, I want Sherry try to get my name, blah, 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 blah. So I made one, right? And I said your name, and I said my name wrong. So you owe me lunch for this. When I see you.
Oh. Okay, I apologize. You know what happens? I tend to speak fast. No, don't make excuses, Akbar. I have to sit in this. I apologize.
Loved it.
Can you imagine? I'm clowning you about not getting my name right, and then I just jack up your name.
It was the best.
Okay. Well, let's go back then. Let's see if you can get the whole name, and then I will really take you out to lunch. All right, here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Akbar Oluwakemi Idowu Bajabia Miller. That's my full name.
You added shit in there that wasn't there before.
I got my driver's license. I'll show it to you. What's going on?
I love it. So, look, Courtney, we got to just lay this out on the table. I've known this young man since he was really just a young man. He always been fine, too, just to let y'all ladies know.
Oh, appreciate it.
I put fillers out there, and I told some of the ladies that she was going to be on there. They was like, oh, my God, how you know him? I said, you got to wait till the show to find out.
Yeah. So, Courtney, do you know the story?
No, because I saw you comment. I was like, man, you know him? Because, like, my kids love you, man, because, you know, the show. Like, that's the only thing I can get my kids to sit down and just watch with me. You know,
oh, man. Yeah. Same with my kids, too. And they don't watch Ninja Warrior because of dad. They watch it because they just love the storytelling. They love how dynamic it is. So that's pretty cool. It is one of the most family watch shows, which is cool. I love to be in that space. So the story I can't remember the name of the studio, but Cherry and I were, we were in the studio, Shaquille O'Neal, and I want to say maybe Warren G. I can't remember who were there. And my brother, who's working for Interscope Record at the time, he was there doing whatever, studio stuff, whatever. And I'm just kind of sitting there, big eye, going like, yeah. And in about 2 or 3 weeks, I've got the prom coming up at Crenshaw High School. And I see her, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Cherry from Punky Brewster. You know, like, you got to remember, this is the era. This is 1997. I'm like, dang. You know, so I'm going to be cool, you know, act cool, because I didn't want to embarrass my brother. You know what I mean? So I'm not trying to embarrass. I'm just like, oh, man. She just sparked a conversation. Oh, what's your name? This and that. We start talking. And then she was like, oh, yeah, I go to Crenshaw High School. It was like, I don't know how it popped up, but prom popped up. I was like, yeah, I don't have a date. She goes, you don't have a, now remind you, I'm a total stranger, right? You don't have a date, hold up. And she pulled out her AirTouch wireless, you remember the old school, AirTouch wireless, da 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 da, and you were balling then too if you had an AirTouch wireless, da 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 da, boom, called her homegirl up and was like, da da da, oh, I got this young kid, he's not, da 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 da, boom, just like that, had a prom date. So, damn. So it took me 24 years to say thank you, because I never saw you after that, but I wanted to say thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah. What made you do that? You know, I would have gone to the prom with no date.
You were young, you were handsome, you were polite, you were a gentleman. And the girl who I called at the time was young and shy, and she was very worthy. She's a good girl.
Yeah.
As you probably remember, I don't know if you know, but she's now a doctor. And she's one of the first Black women to head the Neonatology Ward at UCLA Medical Center.
Ooh. Here in LA?
Yes.
Really? I gotta call T up. It's been a long time, but we kept in contact all the way through college, after into my career, into the pros. We probably maybe in the last 7 or 8 years, maybe a little more, kind of just lost contact, but we stayed throughout the entire process. Yeah.
See, so not only did I hook him up, y'all, but I hooked him up with a good one.
Yeah, and then I ended up becoming prom king. How about that? That was great. So, yeah, I think you helped me get the extra vote once I was going around town saying I had a prom date. So,
and she was beautiful.
Yes, very beautiful, very beautiful. Yeah, went on to Stanford. We would go, during college, we would have, she would share stories about Chelsea Clinton running from security, from her Secret Service, and so it was pretty cool. Yeah.
So I didn't hook you up with a duck. I just got a clear, you know.
No. Oh no, no, you didn't. Yeah, if it wasn't the distance, that there could have been something there.
Oh, so tell me, what's been going on since I've seen 24 years ago?
Yeah. So. Well, there's been a lot that's happened since then. But I think just to kind of give you the accelerated, graduated Crenshaw High School, got a football scholarship to go on and play football at San Diego State. I was a big time basketball player, but never got any basketball scholarships out of Crenshaw. And then after San Diego State, I was an undrafted free agent to the Oakland Raiders. And, you know, growing up in LA, they were the LA Raiders. So I remember them being the LA Raiders. Courtney, I know that because I see your Lakers jersey, so I know you know what's up. Yep. And so that was kind of a big honor for me to kind of go that route. And then Raiders to the Chargers. They were the San Diego Chargers then. Then I went to the Dolphins, lost my mind in Miami, living in California my whole life. So that's a whole nother podcast.
Come on.
then they came back to Oakland, and then my career was over. And that's when a lot of the change happened for me, because, you know, the NFL professional sports, it's a small window that you have. It's an amazing opportunity, but it's also a small window. So for me, that window was 5 years. And then I was stuck with, hold on, who's Akbar? What do I like? Who am I? What is it that I want to do now that I'm done playing? And I took a chance on me, really, you know, stay prayed up. And I just remember going, I want to get into broadcasting, but I didn't have a big enough career. And I'm going, well, how do I do that? So I created my own internship. I remember, because I played at San Diego State and I played for the San Diego Chargers, I went to the local NBC studios in San Diego and say, hey, I do the postgame show for the Chargers and the Aztecs, and I do it for free. They looked at me and was like, yeah, hired on the spot. And that was the start of my, that was the start of my career. Cause I knew I wouldn't be able to actually go out and get somebody to hire me because I didn't have a big enough name. And I knew that athletes who are in town would only want to get paid to do it. So I bet it on myself and did it 2 years for free.
Smart.
Wow, you created your own avenue, and that has led to now.
Yeah. That led to where I am today. It went from that to calling college football games. And then I got married in between that in 2009 and traveling and doing college football. If you're familiar with kind of how that side work, calling games, it's extremely time intensive because you have to prepare for the 100 names on the roster on one side, and you have to prepare for the 100 name on the other side. And then you have to know them intimately. You have to know where the coaches have been, what their philosophy are. So you're just in there just going, and it's different games every single week. So I was spending very little time with my wife. It's kind of like being an actress in that you're spending so much time in your craft that the relational part is very difficult. And so when I got the break to go into studio, which was a lot different, I mean, it's totally different to be a studio analyst to then being a play-by-play, or excuse me, a color commentator. I took that, and it was then my first job at the NFL Network. And then I went from NFL Network into American Ninja Warrior. I got an audition. And in LA, you go out on millions of auditions, and they all tell you some B nonsense. Like, oh, yeah, we loved you, but. So for Ninja Warrior, I hadn't gone out so many auditions. I just started acting up. And I grew up, Courtney, a big wrestling fan. So a lot of my energy is inspired by growing up. And I've told this to Stephanie McMahon. I said that wrestling helped me get my American Ninja Warrior job because I used to love, like, oh my gosh, he just got hit in the esophagus. Yeah. I'm like, what? Think about how dramatic that is. Like, you hit a man in his chest and it's in his esophagus. You know what I mean? And so that inspired me to just act a fool on my audition. Is what I literally did. I acted a fool, and then I got the job because I didn't care. I'm just gonna go out there and have fun.
Dope. And I got introduced to American Ninja Warrior because I listened to or watched Colin Cowherd every day, and he had his co-host Christine Leahy.
Yeah,
and she's all, I gotta go do Ninja Warrior. So I said, let me go check out her other shows. I liked her. And that's when I was like, oh, I said, let me get my kids, because it kind of remind me of when we were growing up.
American Gladiators.
So I was like, let's see if I get my kids to watch it. And they actually sat down and watched it. And then they went on demand and started watching the old. I was like, oh, okay, we finally got something that's not like YouTube crazy
stuff that we can actually
watch together.
How old are your kids?
Well, my sons. My sons are 6 and 8.
Six and eight. Okay, yeah.
My daughter's ten. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, we're in that range. So yeah.
Yeah, my daughter watches you too with my mother. My mother is a huge fan of
you. Oh, is that right? How old is your daughter?
Six.
Okay. So we're all kind of like, I've got twins that are 9. I've got an 11-year-old, and then I've got a 19-year-old, and so yeah. So you get that fraction. It's a big fraction. Like the 19-year-old is off doing his own thing on the phone, and then the kids are either on their tablets or, you know, can't barely sit down and watch a show with you.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I can't believe you're a father.
Yes.
How are you modeling these babies through COVID?
Well, that's been I tell you, the biggest thing is, and I want to pat myself on the back real quick. This one's just for me, not my wife. Prior to COVID, prior to COVID, I had invested a lot of money into getting a robust internet system, router. I went all out, put Cat 6 throughout the house, and she just thought it was excessive. But it was, you know, I like being techie, and so I wanted to have all my techie stuff, you know, souped up. And boom, COVID hit, and we were on the block, like, where people's services were getting jammed up and paused out, we were able to do it. So we had, throughout the day, we've got four computers, including mine, five computers. Everybody's Zooming from every which direction. So that's been difficult. But I think mentally it's been tough just because the kids, you go out inside and play, but you're kind of scared to go play with the neighbor because you don't know what their neighbors have been doing. And it's just, and then we're their only source of entertainment and they get bored. And so they've kind of had a negative attitude towards school, and we try to break it up and doing some fun things. So whether it's me doing internet games with them or just, you know, just trying to do something to engage them on a different level. But that's been the challenging part. Like, it's taken a toll on me. It's taken a toll on my wife. And, you know, and the kids, I mean, they're just a little bit more vulnerable. So they'll tell you, I'm bored. Can we do something else?
Internet game Roblox has taken over.
Oh, you know this?
Oh, God, are you kidding me? First of all, the best babysitter I've ever had.
It's addicting.
I've ever had,
yeah. Roblox? What's your babysitter's name? Roblox. You know?
Roblox. It has gotten her through probably like the past 6 months.
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. And we were never really big on tech in that regards because I didn't want them. Like, for me, you know, and I share this with people, I think, you know, early with our oldest son, you know, technology can steal your kids. It can just rob you of that ability to ask them. I'll never forget, because I have this thing connected to my router where I can see what sites are being visited and all that stuff, and I can kind of monitor the flow of what's going through the house. And I saw all these Google searches. I'm like, what is this? And I just started looking at these Google searches. My knee hurts. What is this? This is happening. And it was, I'm like, these are all questions you would typically use to connect with your parents and ask them these questions. But instead, it was going into a search engine, which then kind of created this distance. And so you want to be able to know your child through all the different growing phases. And, you know, because there's a beauty. You feel like you get robbed because you don't get that maturation rate. You get one phase and then they get exposed. And then it's like, whoop, I'm over here. You're like, hold on, who is that? Like, you know, and so you become less and less interesting to them. And that naturally happens anyway, but it just accelerates at a higher level, which makes it, you know, it makes it emotionally tough. I know it's been for me and for my wife. Aww. Yeah. Yeah. But it is, I tell you that Roblox though, when we're all sitting, cause we're humans, you know, just because we're parents, we're human. It's frustrating. It is frustrating not to be able to, you know, be able to be there like you want to for your kids because you're trying to figure life out. Yeah. And it's exciting to go, okay, I know they got Roblox and I don't want them to really be on it, but man, they'll go on for days. If we don't, I mean, if we don't stop them, they'll go on for days.
Absolutely. I got to ask, who is it that does homeschool with them? You or your wife?
My wife.
Courtney, yeah, is Courtney's wife too.
Yeah. Oh, is that right? No, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. This is just my experience. The first 2 weeks of COVID, I mean, we were in their tag team like gangbuster. I was going all out. We're going to figure this out, whatever. And that 2 week mark, just slapped me right in my face. I was like, babe, I'm done. I had nothing. And so I needed to operate in my strength. It was one of those things that was just challenging. So I came up with PE. I came up with a PE schedule. Yep. And I said, I'm going to do all the physical activity stuff with them and have them, oh, do we have to do this? You know, all this, but you know, I wrote, you know, certain things. We did all sorts of fun things just to get them excited about moving because they were opening up the refrigerator 100 times a day. They were sitting around doing nothing. And they just got really used to being complacent because they're sitting in front of a monitor all day. But my wife was able to handle that. For me, it was just, that was challenging. You're trying to balance and try to recreate my career. Like, okay, what's my career going to look like in the COVID era? I need time to mentally create and think about what this is going to look like. And I couldn't do that. And so I've got the luxury and I, you know, super appreciative of my wife, you know, being able to stay at home. And so, you know, once we got through those 2 weeks, or once I died off that second week, she just stepped it up into another gear. And then there's the other thing too. I have a sixth grader in the house. I'm not as smart as I thought I was. That new math, man, get that out of here. Yeah. Wait till y'all get to that new math. Wait, no, you have a 10-year-old, you know, right?
I've seen little bits of it. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
My daughter's six, but she's in fourth grade. I'm there. Yeah.
Yeah.
that math doesn't check out.
I was homeschooling before the pandemic because I had no choice, because I have this little girl who, and so, yeah, I've gone back and had to teach myself how to do this stuff, because I'm like, I don't understand why we're doing like 10 times 7, but I'm really doing 9 times 7 plus 7 minus. I'm like, I don't get it.
Yeah. All right, right. Oh, that's kind of cool. Oh, well, first off, I mean, that means you putting in that good work together.
Good work.
That's cool. That's super cool. Yeah, you got to be a super proud mom about that.
I was until fourth grade.
Until what? Until fourth grade? No. Until sixth.
I'm up in the middle of the night trying to teach myself how to do this so that I could teach her in the morning how to do it. And I'm just,
yeah.
Cool, dude, I had a job,
so I've they got these YouTube channels now that kind of teach you, because at first I was trying to fake the funk. I'm gonna go in there like, yo, I'm gonna okay, I got it. And then they bring something else to you, like, I didn't prepare for that. You know what, you need to go and spend some more time studying. See, that's your problem now. And then make them go back to the room, and then I go, hold on, did you get it yet? Let me show you how to do this. I got to take this call real quick. Hold on 1 second.
I tell her, mommy doesn't remember this. We're going to YouTube this shit together.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of cool. Hey, let me ask you, why were you crying? I was looking at your social. You were crying. I didn't realize, congrats on the reboot.
Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't know that until I saw your emotional tears. That had to have been like kind of built up, huh?
You know what? I cried every day that we were there. I don't want you to think it was just one day. Just going back and being able to sit on the couch next to my best friend, who I've known since I was six, sounded the same sets that we were at when we were six. Like, I never even wanted to be an actor, okay? I wanted to go to work with my uncle, and like I said, I never liked school. It got me out of kindergarten. But I thought that I was gonna grow up and be an architect. Actor was never on my radar. I fell in love with the business doing the show Punky. And so to be able to go back 39 years later on the show.
That's gotta be a Guinness World Record book, right? I know what, Coming to America is 39 years later. Right.
39 years later, it was just like the biggest gift that the universe could have ever given me, you know? And then I took off, you know, it was like the last shot. So I took off my clothes and I hung it up like somebody would a uniform, you know, and I can't say, you know, but I took off my jewelry and everything. And I just was like looking around my trailer and I was just like, God, thank you.
Yeah. Amen.
I am crying again. Cause I'm like, I pray I get to come back and do this again.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you stop before you make me cry? Before you make me cry. No, because I felt it. They weren't, those were real tears. Oh. You could feel like when I watched that, I was going, whoa. Like, first off, you made me aware, because I didn't even know that they had, they brought it back. So I didn't even know that. Where can I find it, by the way?
It's not out yet. It comes out February 25th on the Peacock app. So there's,
oh, we in the same family.
Hey.
Oh, what?
That's what I was thinking, okay. Like, you don't know this?
Yeah, so you know how great NBC treats you. So we're in Universal, UCP. We're it's family.
Yeah.
And
so I'm going to introduce my kids. This is going to be great. So because they ran through all of these streaming shows, right? I literally had to put, like, for example, I had to put Disney Plus on pause. Like, we're watching The Mandalorian. No, one episode, guys, because they were flying through everything. So all the streaming platforms, they've watched everything. But what I did was I introduced them to Webster. I introduced them to Family Matters. And so it would be cool to introduce them to Punky Brewster. So I got to figure out where I can go find the old Punky Brewster, because they also did Full House too. My kids were able to watch Full House and get to, no, they actually, they never started Fuller House, but they watched Full House. So I was just bringing them back on stuff and they love it.
Guess what?
They love it. Even, yeah.
It's on the NBC app, brother. It's on the NBC app or the Peacock app.
Yeah.
Your job, your company has it all, brother.
I didn't even know it. So that's going to be the next thing. They just watched all six seasons of Sister, Sister. And I'm like, and I sat and watched it with them. I was like, this is great. It's something cool about connecting with your kids when they can watch and enjoy the things that you grew up watching. Yeah. I don't think that's ever been done. I think this is probably the best time to ever have a reboot on anything, because then the kids can follow it. And heck, I'm interested to see what this looks like, because I remember it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I think you'll enjoy it too, because of course, Soleil and I have grown up. We've got the same adult issues that everybody else has. So not only is it like the relationship with adults, but it's also the relationship with the kids, something that the families can watch together and relate to everything that's going on.
Yeah. How does that work for you? Because I know you've done other jobs since then, but was there a hiatus that you'd gone on, and what's the difference? And is acting like riding a bike?
For me, no, it's not. I had to like relearn a lot of stuff, which is really funny. There was a hiatus as far as an actress. I turned into a producer. And so I've taken a seat. Like I said, I never like wanted to be famous. I didn't really want to be on TV. I was just a little girl trying to get out of school. And so, honest. So for me, I've been sitting, you know, behind the camera more than I've been sitting in front of the camera, because I'm a bit shy. And so coming back into it, yeah, you know, like you don't want people to know you, and it's invasive. The camera's really, and I'm coming back as a 40-year-old woman who's been sitting through COVID, probably eating way too much. You know, you come back and you're on camera, and it's like, oh my God, my chin ain't as thin as it used to be, and where's my mark and my light? And but with Soleil, it's so much fun. I honestly forget that the cameras are there, and a lot of the time we end up just having conversations we probably shouldn't have had.
Were you nervous? Did you get nervous after, I mean, for something that was such a hit? I mean, you know, I can relate to it because I was, you know, I was in that era, but I can only imagine the nerves to be able to pick something. Like, I can't imagine, like, for example, Coming to America, the nerve to be able to hit something that was such an iconic piece, an institution, so to speak. You were a part of an institution. For anybody who grew up in those, you know, in those golden years, like that was a part of an institution. Was there a lot of pressure for you in that?
I think I'm too stupid to succumb to the pressure. I think I just really spent all my time enjoying every moment of it.
Wow. Okay.
And something that I really enjoyed, and I pray everyone else enjoys it too.
Yeah.
Nervous, yes, but like a good, excited nervous. Does that make sense?
Yeah, No, I get it. Yeah, you're looking forward to it.
Yeah, not like a, oh my God, I hope this is good, but just like a, oh my God, I want this to go 8 seasons because I want to sit next to her for 8 more years and do this.
Yeah. So how did you guys collab on this podcast?
Courtney, as a Black man, did just like you did. He interviewed me for another show one day, and he said, I think you should have your own podcast. I think it's something that you should really think about. And I said, okay, producing.
Yep. And that's how it happened.
3 seasons later, he stuck with me.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And I was just like, you know, one of those guys, I just was in love with Maxine from Family Matters. And I just, I never would have thought I'd been working with her, though. But that's... like it took me a very long time to get used to this, because I'm like, I didn't feel like I deserved it. You know what I mean? So it took me a long time.
How do you not deserve something you created?
It's kind of one of those things. I mean, because and it's always interesting, because you may not feel this, but you may not feel as big as you are, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Because in your mind, you might just be you, right? Yeah. But because, you know, there's a whole nother generation of people that grew up watching you, you know, all the time. And I mean, you've been so blessed because you're a part of two institutional shows, you know, obviously one older, but I mean, who's ever going to forget Family Matters? I mean, that was, I was just watching a documentary on that. In fact, first off, let me say this. The reunion show they did with Will Smith for...
Fresh Prince,
they should have did one like that for Family Matters. I saw the reunion, and I thought it could have been better. That's just my opinion, because I felt like there was just so much more chemistry, and, you know, what there needs to be another one, you know, just so people can really kind of get in. I mean, I just remember watching, it was like a tight shot, and it was like, I digress.
I told Cherry the same thing when I watched the Fresh Prince reunion. I told her, I think I texted her. I said, I really understand what you guys do for a living now. Because, like, for me, I thought they just showed up and they handed their scripts. And then I didn't realize that they actually give them a script and they're sitting around the table and they're going over.
Table read, yeah.
I didn't know nothing about all that. I remember she used to always tell me about that. But
changes. Every day you come in and it changes, and then you're shooting. And as you're shooting, the producer walks in and says, instead of saying this, now say this. Instead of saying this, now say this.
I had no idea.
You know what I didn't realize? And this is, I really want to know this from you, because I had the opportunity, and TV hosting is totally different than acting. But I had the opportunity to play myself on an NBC show. And it was one part, and it took me a day and a half to shoot it. I found out it took them 7 days to shoot one episode, or 5 or 6 days to shoot one episode. And I started thinking, I'd say, these are 12, 13 hour days. I'm like, hold on, who are your friends? If you're married, God forbid, like, you don't ever, like, if I come home, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to do nothing with you. I'm about to go to bed because I got to go study, and I got to get back into, and you're doing that for 5-6 months. I'm like, I thought that as God is my witness, I said, you know what? I don't know that I'm meant to be an actor, because that would, in this moment, would be too difficult for me. It would be too difficult.
I love that you said that, because it's true. Like, people ask you, even trying to date growing up in the business, why didn't you call me? I don't want to talk to you. I've been talking for 14 hours. I just want to go to bed, because I have to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and be right here.
Yeah, that I don't know. Like, I mean, it is a tremendous sacrifice, right? There's tremendous sacrifice. There's side to get to see publicly, but there's a certain social side. Like, I get the advantage of, you know, we can film our stuff, boom, boom, boom. We get like 2 or 3 days where we go those 12, 13 hour days. I'm off for like 2 weeks and I do it again. And I do that in a matter of 3 months. And I got the rest of the year to chill. Like, you guys are doing that for like 6 months. And back then in the golden era, how many episodes did you guys shoot?
We used to shoot 22 episodes a season. Now we only shoot 10.
So that means you never had a life. Hold on. Okay. Sorry. I know we're just having a conversation. Hold up. Hold up. 22 episodes.
Yeah. It used to be. Now it's 10.
So that means, hold on. If I do the math, I might need to call your daughter to help me. So that's 7 times 22.
Yeah.
That's 100, then that's 140, whatever. Let's just call it 140 weeks. No, is that 140 weeks? No, that can't be 140
weeks. 22 weeks out of the year is what
it's 20. Oh, that's right. 20. So 22 weeks. Yeah, that's right. Per episode. So 22 weeks, you're filming. That's what? 52 weeks is, that's 6 months almost.
Yeah.
26 weeks is 6 months. Mm-hmm. So for 6 months out of the year, let's just call it six, you're filming. And then what did you do the other 6 months?
Audition, work on a different project, maybe go back to school. Early Family Matters years, I was still in high school. I was an adult through the end of the show, but I was going to school. I was taking finals. I was trying to graduate.
What school did you go to?
Westlake High School, but not the private one, like the one in Westlake Village.
Oh, Westlake Village. Oh, okay. How come you didn't go to Crenshaw?
Because I didn't live there.
You could have gone homeschooled anywhere. You could have gone to Crenshaw, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Oh, sorry. I'm throwing up gang signs. Sorry.
In Westlake Village of Gore Hills area.
So
a 2-hour drive trying to get to Crenshaw in the morning. My mama was not having it.
Did you physically go to school?
Yeah. When I could, when I wasn't working. And then when I was working, I had a tutor on the set.
That's how I look, man. When she told me, I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Maxine was in regular high school. That's all I'm thinking about.
I was in high school with all white people. They didn't care about Maxine.
I mean, no. Because it doesn't make sense. Because I don't, and correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe because the world that I grew up in. But I thought that family matters kind of transcend through all cultures. I don't care what race you were. It wasn't like just a black show.
It was on TGIF. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They watched it, but like the guys at Crenshaw, like I was a big deal at Crenshaw and Dorsey. At Westlake, not so much.
But you know why Dorsey?
D House.
Okay, okay.
That you went to prom with her sister. She went to
Dorsey. Yeah, mom would tell you it was a teacher there. Yeah, that's right. Okay. All right. Oh, wow.
So I went to high school with this girl that played in My Girl, Anna Chomsky, I think. And she was like a big deal. But you got to remember, the movies is different. You know, it comes on, you know, she did a movie and then it came on, did another movie 3 years later. I could not imagine going to high school with somebody who's on TV every Friday night.
The neighborhood that I lived in too, mommy and daddy are producers and directors and, you know,
yeah,
they were doing things like coke and driving the Mercedes Benz and stuff like that. Like they didn't care about the girl from TV.
Right. So you didn't have it awkward. It wasn't an awkward thing for you because I felt like back then too is the other thing where I think, you know, being a celebrity is different now than it was then because there were a handful of people that were, you know, but now you've got this person's an influencer and a social media this and and then there's so many different shows too because, again, that golden era where there's only a certain amount of channels that you could watch. I mean, you made through the 13 channels or whatever there were, and then you got into the cable, but even cable was like capped. Now it's like exploded to a billion channels.
Dude, but it was different for me because by the time I had gotten to high school with these kids, I had already done Punky. And so we had grown up together. I was just Cherry. By the time we got to high school, they know me my whole life.
Yeah.
I did not care.
All right. I got another question for you because I'm always interested. I'm interested in people. So as an NFL athlete, when you leave the NFL, you go through this identity crisis because, like, for me, I'm 6'6", 260 pounds. And so you can visibly see, like, yo, this dude's athletic. So, and if you know me, then you go, oh, how come you're not in the league? How come you're not in the league? And you're done, right? And so all people see you as an athlete. And you're trying to shake that off and reinvent yourself. So you go through this identity crisis. You go through, like this depression because you don't know who you are. You think all you are is an athlete. People only want to hang out with you because, you know, you play ball or you run. Like, they don't really like me. You go through all these things, and it can be crippling. Do actors go through the same thing? Because you may not feel it. Like, at least for me as an athlete, you don't realize when you're intoxicated by, you know, the fame and the adulation and all that stuff. It seems like normal life. And then when it stops and it's different and people still see you that way, but they don't respond to you the same way. It's one of those weird things where you go, oh shoot. Like there's a shift in who you are. Do you guys go through that as actors, actresses?
For me, I've never been intoxicated. Like, I never bought into who they said I was. I always knew who I was. And I was Cherry before I was Maxine. So I've always just been Cherry. What throws me, I think, more than anything else is 20 something years later when people still refer to me as Maxine and they think I'm being a smart ass or I'm stuck up because they're behind me going, Maxine, 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 and I don't respond because I don't know they're talking to me. You know, if they say Cherry, I'm going to turn around. So the people that know me from Punky Brewster, they get a response. Sometimes the people who are calling me Maxine, 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 unless they say, where's Waldo or where's Laura or Steve, I don't know they're fucking talking to me or what they're talking about. Like, yeah. I'm vaccine in 20 something years. So I think sometimes I'm thrown because people really live through TV. They think TV is real.
Yeah.
Guilty.
Yeah. 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 I think we can all, I call it man worshiping. Like we've all, I think because of the way our entertainment is structured, like we can all get into that where you can be enamored with a person, whether they're an athlete or an entertainer or a musician or whatever it might be. And you do lose that, because I remember I was taking acting classes to help me with my performance. And I remember an acting coach telling me that acting is bringing a real life into an imaginary world. And I think there is this blurred line for people who are consumers of this content. Like you go, oh shoot, like this is that person that I only know by their character's name. And you're so invested in it, you forget the all decorum, all, you know, whatever just goes out the window and you just, yeah, it gets lost. You're just like in this, it's a blurred line. Like who's the real person and who's the actor or actresses?
You know, my mama said something to me one time. I don't know. Somebody said something about, oh my God, you're a star. My mom turned me around. I was probably about 8 years old. And she said, the only stars in the world are in the sky and they're untouchable. Your little black ass is touchable. And so
I want to meet Mama Johnson.
Mama, serious. And so there was never like, it was never fed into my head. It was just a job. It was just something I did. I didn't even know I was getting paid until I was 16. So as an adult, it's just how I keep my lights on and I feed my kid. That's it.
Yeah, you know, I think that's so cool because that's an inside perspective that I'd never thought about. And that you guys are because I'm gonna say because you're special, right? You had a special gift, a special talent at such a young age. Whereas you get these, well, the athletes are treated differently once you make it to the pros, right? I mean, there's some stuff that they do to cater to athletes who show promise when they're young, but I think it's a different type of. When you're thrown into the spotlight, like on a major, major stage, this is not local. This isn't just a regional thing. This is a big thing.
You know, we were 6 years old.
You know, jeez.
I knew we were popular, but yeah. There was paparazzi. There was no social media. So to find out what fame is at 30, it's a little different. I didn't know what famous was until I was 30.
Yeah.
So what? And Madonna, they were famous. I was just a girl in Punky Brewster and Family Matters.
Yeah.
Not Madonna.
What have you learned? What have you learned over your career? Because, you know, as I'm trying to navigate into the second, what I call my second career.
We need a podcast.
You said what?
We need a podcast.
Yeah. I'm naturally curious. I'm just naturally curious. I've always been enamored by you. I don't have pictures of that day. I do have a picture of me and Shaq. That's the only thing that I have is a picture of me trying to post up Shaq in that Westlake Studios, it might have been.
It was Westlake Studios.
It was Westlake Studios. Why did that just hit me right now? It was Westlake Studios. That's where we met. Yep, Westlake Studios. What were you doing there anyways?
MTV had us interviewing Shaq and Warren.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I was eating. You really wonder what I was doing? I was eating hot wings with Uncle Warren. I was not doing that.
Oh man, Warren and I were neighbors for a little bit down in OC in the OC. Yeah, yeah, that which was crazy. That was just like that was one of those other kind of surreal moments. Like, can't believe our kids are on the same football team. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Cafe is what I was doing in the studio.
You said what?
Hot Wing Cafe.
Hot Wing Cafe.
Studio.
Yeah. So what's been the biggest lesson that you've learned in your career when it comes to like dealing with agents and publicists and managers? What's been your biggest takeaway?
No business. It's not personal. It's business. They don't give a fuck about you. They just want to make money off you.
Boy, that was quick. You didn't even think about it.
Don't bring your feelings into it. Bring your A game. Don't take.
I feel like I should write that down.
Don't bring your feelings into it. It's all ration. It's not emotion. And don't take anything personal, because they will build you up and tear you down in the same sentence. You know, she's beautiful, but her nose is too big. She really needs to get her boobs done. Maybe she needs an ass job too. But you know what? She'll work for this and we love her. She's got pretty hair. So it's just like,
hold on, are you, did you just make those up? No, are those real?
I've heard all that.
Gosh.
Really?
Yeah. I've been told I need my nose done. I've been told I need my boobs done. I've been told I need my butt done.
What does that do to you? Be like, keep it real. Like, what does that do to you on the inside? That's got to be crushing.
No, I can tell you, honest truth. When I was 16, I convinced my mom to take me to a plastic surgeon so I can have my consultation about my nose. I got in there. The guy drew all these, honest God, look at Courtney looking at me. He drew all these lines on my face. And then he told me that my nose would no longer align with my chin, so I would need a chin implant. And then it would be my cheeks, so I needed a cheek implant. And my eyes would have to be... like they would have to rebuild a lid because they said that my lid isn't really deep. So they'd have to rebuild a lid and redo my eyes. And I looked at my mom and I said, can we go to Hamburger Hamlet? So I got some chicken wings and a piece of cake and some little fried onions. And I never mentioned a nose job again. I was cool. And then honestly, oh my God, what's his name? Nijay Davenport.
Yes. I know. Yeah. Green Bay Packers. Yeah.
I love Nijay. Nijay. Yeah. A 6-page letter after hearing me talk about my boobs and how they had told me that I needed my boobs done. Nijay Davenport, now mind you, just a friend, a man I had met, never slept with, nothing, never dated. One of the, I hold him so near and dear to my heart, wrote me this letter that I was perfect. And he told me to never change myself in the 6-page letter that I still have. Dr. Dre sat down one day and told me that I was perfectly imperfect. And so for a young girl having these two men at the top of their game, different spectrums of life, that took the time out to talk to a young little insecure girl who had listened that I would work more if I had my boobs done. Mind you, I'm rocking a double D, no disrespect to your wife, but yeah. You know, to hear that you're perfectly imperfect from this NFL player and this mega music producer really helps you love yourself for who you are.
Yeah.
And really, you know, the industry will tear you up to build you down.
Yeah. That's what my coaches always say. They bring you up to bring you down. You always say that about the media. Wow. Like, I mean, that's gut-wrenching, especially growing up in that world. And just, I mean, your mom had to have done an amazing job to kind of do her best to shelter you from a lot of that stuff.
My mom is amazing, but this is my nose and these are my tits. So I'm going to made it out okay.
Yeah, right.
Good girl.
What you learned? Because, you know, athletes and TV, you got both spectrums. That's a lot.
Yeah, well, I will tell you, well, the one thing that I missed and I've learned is that in sports, you're constantly trying to look for perfection. You got to constantly work at your game no matter what. You finish a game and you spend that much time congratulating yourself on how well you did. It's like, what could I have done better? Let's go watch the tape. And then you pick yourself apart every single day. And then you get used to that routine. And the biggest thing for me was stepping into this world was like, cause in the beginning, my first season on American Ninja Warrior, I sucked. I was horrible.
No.
And at the end, it's still cringy for me to watch. It's still cringy. Season 5 is cringy for me to watch because I don't sound like me. And so you're trying to mimic what you think they want. And I just remember like at the end of every show go, oh, great job, great job, great job. But on the inside, I felt like trash. Like, man, this is not me. And I was trying to pair it. I was insecure by the way I speak. And, you know, so I was trying to mimic my host. And it took one of the homies from the hood, Javon. I remember I was at 24 Hour Fitness at Magic Johnson's 24 Hour Fitness on Slauson. And she goes, oh, I see you on that show. I can't tell the difference between you and him. You sound white. And, you know, to us, that's like, oh. Yeah, it was like, oh. And, you know, I was pissed on the inside. I was like, oh, yeah, whatever, hater in my mind. But the truth was, she was right. She was right. I was trying to fit into this world. I had no direction because I'm so used to somebody saying, hey, Matt, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need this. And then there was this insecurity is, because it wasn't lost on me that I was, you know, at that time was the first Black co-host on the show. So they had gone through many different co-hosts. Matt had been kind of a staple there. And I thought, well, what is it that they're looking for? And I just remember we got a new director and the producers kind of talking. And for, I was for sure my first year I was done. And I remember the director come up to me, he's like, man, you don't talk like that around your boys, do you? He goes, I know some of your boys. I come tell them. And he just said that out of the blues. He says, is that how you would really say it? Would you really say it like that? And then I just started just sprinkling in my own flavor. And then I just started saying the dumb stuff that comes to my mind. And before you know it, it started to grow. And for that, it was just kind of the permission to be yourself. And so what I learned in that process is nobody can do you better than you, you know, and you can try to pretend to be someone else. In the beginning, that's what I was trying to be, what I thought they would want me to be, rather than just going, hey, just be Akbar. And then from there, I just kind of progressively got better with repetition.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I am so proud of you, boo. Like, I can't, words will never express. You know, it's like watching a kid that you adore turn it into a grown-ass man doing his thing. Feeling in the world.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, this is cool.
When you decide that you're going to do your podcast, hit Courtney up, because I think you got something there, bro.
Definitely.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, and I got to do a shameless plug if I can reach it. I'm attached. I got to do it because I didn't even get a chance to talk about or pub.
I saw it back there, but I wasn't sure it was yours.
Oh, yeah. It's mine. Let me see. What did I drop? Everyone Can Be a Ninja. This is my new book. It's not that new. It came out in 2019. 2020 took my marketing and my promotion stole that year. But so I wrote a book about overcoming obstacles. Everyone Can Be a Ninja. And I was inspired by the show, looking at the ninjas overcome obstacles. So I talk about overcoming personal obstacles, talking about the obstacles I've learned from the ninjas. And I took like friends, like athletes, like Allison Felix, Nnamdi Asamoah. And I kind of try to put a book together about encouraging and inspiring people about overcoming the personal obstacles in their life.
Hold it back up for me one more time.
Yep. Everyone Can Be a Ninja.
Love it. Pick a number between 1 and 100.
1 and 100. Yep, I got it.
Okay, whoever comes close to that number, of course, Courtney's gonna block that part out. We're gonna have people inbox us on the number that you think Akbar picked so you can win a free book.
Nice.
Welcome to Cherry's World.
Shop all things Cherry Johnson at TheRealCherry.com.